Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
All right, let's talk about seasonal depression.
Speaking of depression, my tea bag exploded, so I'm now drinking tea leaves.
Oh, love that for you. A little crunch in there.
I do too. Yeah. Love that. Love that. But how was your week? It's AJ's going to be turning one soon, right? So what's your, remind me of your theme again?
Okay. Yeah, so it is first year down. So like a football theme, like first down.
That's right.
Yeah. So he's not one yet, but he will be. So he'll be 11 months in like a week. And then obviously he'll be one in another month. And it's sad. It's quick. I'm trying to like reflect on like what all has happened in the last year. And I cannot remember. But yeah, it's been wild, but it's good. So yeah, I sent out invitations for that. We're just doing like, you know, some family and then it's like hard. I'm not like a party planner. Like I used to be, like I used to host a lot when I lived in Florida. Like we were real big party people. And like we would, I literally had like a kegerator. I had two kegerators in my house actually. And we, yeah. Like I was buying a keg probably every week. That's how much party people we were. Yeah.
What? How expensive is a keg? Or was a keg back then? You want to
join the So like 130, 150 of That's like some shitty
chunk of cash for a keg. Does that
make sense? Yeah. And like you shouldn't be going through a fucking keg like in a week. But I mean, in my opinion, unless you're at like a college fucking
say party. Frat boys would agree to disagree.
Yeah. But like I was just the fucking normal person of society. So yeah. So you know, it's just been like a crazy fucking year, I feel like. And we're getting to that time of the year where it's just like shitty, in my opinion. But how was your week? Did you have a good week?
I had a great week. And like I don't want to like take up all of our time talking about how amazing my week was, but it was amazing.
Well, let's what are the highlights? Give us the synopsis. Give us the
okay, so like the since we're doing like football theme, we'll do the highlights, the sports highlights. So bought my dream truck, paid off my student loans. Eric took a full week of work off since he had vacation time to burn, and so we got to do like lots of quality time and lots of fun dates. We went dancing, like we learned how to like salsa and
oh, that's fun.
And marchata. I might be fucking that up. I don't know. But like, it was a lot of fun. And so I think we're either going to get dance lessons because we just had like a lot of fun doing that or something. We're going to do something with dancing just because it was something that we both enjoyed doing. We finished the Harry Potter movies. So now we get to start Christmas movies.
Wait. What's your favorite Harry Potter movie? Which one? You can pick two because there's.
Thank you. I was going to ask her too. So Prisoner of Azkaban, a solid one. And then honestly, I think for like one that's underrated is Half-Blood Prince. I feel
okay,
like
those are my two favorites. And
no
then
way.
My third would be Order of the Phoenix.
That's a good one. That's
yeah,
good
I don't one. Like the fourth one. Everyone loves that one and I don't like it. That's like
oh, the Goblet of Fire. Dude, Goblet of Fire is
bogus. No. Trash.
It is
trash. So Christmas movies next, now that we got that squared away. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I really like Christmas Vacation. The National Lampoon's. Yeah, that's like, I grew up on that. My dad showed me it, you know, when you're like not really supposed to be seeing that stuff yet. And it's just solid.
Yeah. I'm a Santa Claus, like Tim Allen Santa Claus, like 1, 2, and 3.
Those are so good too. They're so good.
Yeah. I could watch those all day long. But speaking of like Christmas and that time of the year, guys, it's also that time of the year for sad, SAD.
Just being sad.
Being sad.
Dude, guys. I mean, like it's hard in Ohio and up north because you guys like get double whammy. It's like not only does everyone get fucked up with the time change and then like it being dark from the time people go to work, from the time they come home from work, but then like y'all get fucked with the weather being so freaking cold. And sometimes it's snowy, sometimes it's icy, but you better believe it's typically like below freezing, like 2 solid months in the winter. So, like, I will say, as someone that was born and raised in Ohio, coming down to Charleston, I don't hate the winter as much, but because we really don't get winter, we just get like a mild fall.
No. But even then, it's still like a change. Obviously, like the weather gets colder, like the days, the sun sets earlier and rises later. So, it is still a change, even though like, there are certain parts of the United States or wherever you guys are at, even if you are overseas, where like it is gray. Like I think I Googled like a few years ago how many gray days Ohio has, and it's like over 200.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's like insane. 'Cause even if you just go like 2 hours south down to Columbus, there's less gray days. It's just like we have that lake, Lake Erie, and it's just like always overcast, always cloudy. And I actually was on a walk this morning with Alex, and I was like, dude, like this sucks. Because even when I go and visit, my best friend in Salt Lake City, like it's cold in the mornings and it's chilly and it's brisk, but the sun is out and that makes the world of a fucking difference. And I'm like, I hate this. Like, and it's been so hard for me moving from the south back up here. Like, I don't think I ever really had seasonal depression before then. Maybe I did, but it wasn't as like debilitating as it is now. Because it's just like holy shit, especially I lived in the Sunshine State, like literally I saw it every fucking day. Like it only rains for 5 minutes and then it's like holy shit. So like honestly, you essentially what SAD is, it's a seasonal affective disorder. Like sometimes it's called seasonal depression, whatever you guys want to call it. It's just definitely where your thoughts, feelings, behavior, and like everything are like definitely heavily influenced by the weather changes, which is insane. And
It
isn't
really is.
It's kind of insane. Like, and there's like different severities of it. 'Cause I know I talked with my therapist about this, like when I first moved home, and I'm just like, dude, like if I did have it, like I said, it wasn't ever like this bad. Like it's actually fucking insane how much it can impact your life.
I agree. As someone that I kind of did like the Uno reverse of you, I went from dull gray Ohio to not the Sunshine State, but definitely a lot more coastal climate region. And like when it gets a little bit below freezing, which is usually as low as it goes in Charleston, like it's a little miserable. But I mean, like, okay, I put on some layers and I'll still be able to go outside because at least there's sun. But like the wind chill isn't nearly as like awful. And like I said, like usually there's still sun, even if it is just colder. But it is so important, I think, to also acknowledge that because it's colder, people tend to slow down. And when people slow down, they tend to become hermits and recluse. And there's nothing more depressing than isolation. And I think everyone can attest to like the impacts of like COVID-19 and the stay-at-home orders, where the more that you isolated yourself by staying inside, by staying at your home, and you spoke with people less, you stopped going out to people's homes or going out and about, even just running errands. Like that in and of itself, that like isolation can also just make your depression so much worse. And so, while yes, we're going to give practical tips like making sure you have vitamin D and making sure you do go outside as safely as you possibly can, I think one of the biggest assets is trying your best to not allow the cold weather to stop you from being you. Like, continue to, go out and about, continue to have people over, meet people for coffee, like be creative with your outlets of community, because like I said, there's nothing more depressing than just being cooped up in your house the entire winter.
Yeah, I think like staying to like on a schedule or routine is obviously the best thing. And like we said, like that weather can really dictate that or make you deviate from that, I should say. And having, like you said, you don't want to lose yourself, right? So like what you have been doing, you just kind of want to continue to do on. And I actually had a call with one of my girls today that where we talked about like she had like a really crap week. And I was like, dude, like what happened? Like, yeah. And she's like, I just think it's a really hard season. Like, the weather's been shitty. I couldn't go outside and go on a walk. And I was like, I get that. I hear you. Like, I feel you. Like, it's definitely a very hard time. But the best thing we can do right now is stick to our schedule, stick to our routine, and obviously, still accomplish our goals. So, like, I get it. You don't want to be outside in the cold. That's okay. But like, where else can we walk? Can we go to the mall? Can we go to Target and walk up and down the aisles? And that still is like getting you out, or just even like going to the gym. and like getting you, like I, for me personally, like I just, I should still go outside, but I just transitioned to walking on my treadmill, but I'm still walking.
Absolutely. I mean, that's great practical advice because you're right. You should stick to a schedule and a routine because, like, that is a part of who you are. That's a part of what makes you you, is like you doing the things that not only you need to do for being an adult and productive in society, but also like your hobbies, your fun activities, your outlets. Like, you can't stop because you are colder. And, you know, mall walking is great. When I lived in Ohio, I would walk around the Dayton Mall with like the old fucking people that use weights, like little weighted pink dumbbells as part of their power walking. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, going to Walmart, Target, like you said, like stores that, you know, are just a huge conglomeration where you can rack up like, you know, a mile or two if you spend, you know, enough time in the store. You know, continue to do the all the habits that you built and solidified over the warmer months, but be creative and have enough fluidity in your structure, in your routine to be creative and to adapt. Because obviously, like, especially in those climates and states up north, okay, if it's negative 30 degrees, walking outside is just like, not only is it not going to be pleasant, but like, okay, then we're thinking of like, okay, this is a health hazard. You know what I'm saying? But maybe you get to invest in a little treadmill or a walking station or a stationary bike. Like, these little things don't have to break the bank, but you're still able to keep your body moving. You know, with the gym schedule, continue to go to the gym, like continue to lift weights. Like, don't, you know, do something where it's like, oh, it's so cold out, I want to stay snuggled in bed. Like, no, get your ass up and go to the gym still. Like, if it's that big of a deal with your car being cold, and that's literally the only impetus from you getting to the gym, invest in a remote control starter, for crying out loud. Like, my truck, Ronnie, he has an emotion, he has a fucking remote like button on my key fob where it's like I can turn him on right now. That's not
That's
essential.
cool.
Ronnie's my truck, guys. Ronnie's not like my mister that I'm fucking around with Eric on. Ronnie's my truck. So it's like I can boot Ronnie up right now from my ass, and the heats and the fucking steering wheel are heated. So it's like I have no fucking excuse not to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? But like, don't give yourself a pass just because things are more difficult. Because just because things are more difficult doesn't mean they should keep you from doing what you need to do to be successful in your goals.
And I think that's where we get like that hard stop where it's just like, well, this isn't working out for me. I don't like doing this. I don't enjoy it. But so I should just give up on my goals, right? And it's like, this is where either you sink or you swim because it's like, where can you get creative? You know, like you said, remote start, walking in the mall, doing all of these things too. But I think a lot of it comes from also like reworking your mindset. Like, so me like out myself here. I know when my seasonal depression is like getting bad because I just bitch and moan and fucking complain. And like it annoys me. It literally annoys me that I act like that. Like I hate it. It's like so grimy to me. But like that's how my expression is. But like I don't just give up and not do it. Like I will sit there at the table and I'll be like, I don't want to go on a walk. I don't want to go on a walk. I don't want to go on a walk. And I'll say it over and over and over. And Alex will be like, can you just shut the fuck up and go on a walk? Like I know you're gonna do it. And same thing, I'll be driving to the gym. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I hate this. I don't feel good. This is annoying. I had to get in my car. And then like once I'm at the gym and I'm fucking hitting PRs, I was like, well, that is why I do that, right? But I have that like bitching and moaning and like me not wanting to fucking do it. But come what, March, April, when it's spring again, I don't want to sit here and be like, well, fuck, I didn't make any progress all fucking winter because I sat on my fucking ass. And I understand like this is, it can be debilitating for people, but also too, like we've talked about this and said this before, it's harder to live in a space that you're not comfortable with than it is to do the uncomfortable things to get you to a space that's better.
Exactly. Just because it's challenging doesn't mean it needs to be hard. And what makes it hard is what you think about it, right? It's like the more negative that you are, or the more that you resist what you know you should be doing, the harder it is going to be because you are going to have that emotional response. And I know a big thing that's being shared out the ass on Instagram is like, follow the plan, not your emotion. But it's true. Like, emotions come and go. But whether or not you choose to react to how you're feeling in that moment can kind of dictate whether you're going to fail yourself or propel yourself forward to your goal. And again, like Ash said, seasonal depression can be very debilitating for some. We definitely don't want to downplay, you know, how it can, you know, be challenging to overcome, but challenging is not impossible, right? So some things to consider is making sure you're still taking your vitamin D supplementation because you're not getting it from the sun. For those of us that are blessed to maybe live down south where there is sunshine, continue to monitor your lab work to make sure you're not overdosing vitamin D. But for those where you have 200 gray days, get some vitamin D, 5,000 IUs. If you are someone that is, the 9 to 5 or the maybe 10 to 6s where maybe you have sunlight when you get up and maybe you don't, but invest in a happy light in the morning just to have some type of light exposure to kind of get your body ready to go. Like we are creatures that rely off of the sun and rely off proper sleep wake cycles. And a part of that, like Ash said, was keeping with a schedule, keeping a routine, but also mimicking what nature does naturally, like getting sunlight exposure or getting happy light exposure or some type of light exposure to wake your ass up. Like have warm clothes in place, like have things that allow you to still be active outside. Like when I lived in Ohio, I had these like little like yak track things where it was like a little thing that went over my snow boots that would dig into the ice if it was too icy or I was, I was afraid that I would fall. So that way it literally was like crampons on ice where I was like in the ice and I wasn't gonna fall, but I still got to go outside, even if it was like, below freezing, but not like, an ungodly temperature where I was worried that I might get frostbite and like, lose the tops of my nipples. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there are things that you can do to make life easier. It's just all about your perspective and all about your investment. But I think the biggest thing that, Ash and I touched on was keeping with your schedule, continue to move, continue to be proactive. Because while these winter months, let's say 4 winter months, that is a lot of not only your entire year, but also in the grand scheme of things, that's a lot of your life. That if you're just waiting till January, like if you're waiting till January, nothing is going to happen until you get so fucking uncomfortable because you were a dick to yourself until May when it rolls around. And you're like, oh, I need to be dieting because I'm expecting myself to be in a bikini by June, if your lifestyle versus, contest prep. God, that's even fucking worse because, like, then you really dug yourself into a fucking hole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like slacking off now. I think a lot of that plays in with that whole like, oh yeah, like I'm in an off season, I can just dick off and then prep is only 16 weeks. Like, no, if you're a true bodybuilder, like you are in prep every single fucking day of your life, whether it is a growing phase or a health phase or whatever the fuck you want to label it as. And it's not just the dieting phase to the stage, right? And I
Yeah.
think that's a lot of people fall short. And like you said, then you get in the fucking tussie trying to get all this weight off to get into your bikini. And then this ripple effects, domino effects, however you want to call it, gets back into that whole like all or nothing mindset. So like see how this like stimulates that for you guys. It's like, okay, well now, I don't feel the best mentally. Well, guess what? Like we all fucking don't. And I get that. And I hear you because I suffer from this too. But also too, it's like now you slacked off and now you're going to try and cut corners wherever the fuck that may be for summer, diet really, really low, take fucking Ozempic when you don't need it, do all of this crazy fucking shit. I don't even care. And I'm so sick of it, man. And you do all this crazy fucking shit to try and get yourself to fit into a tiny bikini. And then again, a rat come around again. Same thing. Seasonal depression comes in, you slack off, and then you gained even more weight back because you're yo-yoing back and forth versus just trying to, maintain what you've been doing. You don't even have to like hardcore diet right now. Just pick up the good habits that you've already learned and that you know and you instill and follow. Like if you are working with a coach, your fucking plan, take your vitamin D, eat those whole foods, try and get sun where you can, buy a happy light. I don't know. That helps people. I like it. And that way you will have that success. And honestly, you'll probably feel a lot better. I actually had a girl who said that this year is the best year for her seasonal depression, and this is the first year that she's worked with a coach during it.
Yep. There's something powerful about following a plan because a lot of the times we're just bumbling a lot in life looking for meaning. But when you have structure and routine and you follow something consistently, not perfectly, but consistently, you will feel better about yourself and you will be more confident in yourself and your abilities. And when you are confident in who you are and what you do and what you believe in, why would you stop? Right? And that's the problem is people like fuck up once. And they get so exasperated with themselves for failing yet again. It's like, well, stop giving up. Like, stop starting over. If you're so sick of like giving up, stop giving up, continue to work on creating sustainability within your plan, have accountability. Ash said something really important that I want to expand upon. A lot of people struggle with this. A lot of us are just miserable during the colder months. Use that quote unquote misery and generate that into community, meaning everyone struggles with this. So don't struggle in isolation, struggle together and have accountability groups. Do things together with friends. Have gym dates with friends. Like have each other hold each other accountable when it comes to making sure that you're doing what you need to do to be successful. Have book clubs, like have movie watching marathons together with people. Like, yes, it's important to have good physique goals and have health goals, absolutely. But again, I cannot stress the importance enough of not being miserable while you're by yourself. Like, as much as I don't like the Hallmark Christmas movies, if Ash was like, hey, do you want to come over and watch a, Hallmark Christmas movie? I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Because like, I would want to just be with her and not be by myself.
No, I think, that's really powerful too. It's like they always say that, there's like power in numbers and things like that. And one thing that I do with like a lot of my local girlies is we either have a team lift or we actually for the month of December, I'm planning a team walk. So we're just gonna go walk in the Metro Park. So I'm gonna bring some fucking coffee, for us to get our steps to get out and be around each other that all have like-minded goals, But like you said, sometimes it's like doing those things that, we don't necessarily want to, but being around somebody can help us, can boost our mood, increase endorphins and things like that. And that's what we need right now, or what people need right now if they do suffer from, sad and all of that. And like I said, like this is, I mean, real. They obviously have a diagnosis for it. Like there's therapists that help people with this. So it's like some people may not even know. They just know that they start feeling a little shitty right now. And they're like, oh, maybe it's the holidays. Maybe I had, which it could be, but like it goes to show that how impactful our environment is.
It really is our environment and then our community. And one of the books that I'm reading called Platonic, where I'm reading it to be a better friend, reading it to be a better coach. And I'm also reading it to be a better wife and all around person by understanding different attachment styles and why people react and respond in the way that they do based on kind of like their upbringing and their experiences. And it's, like I said, been very paramount to just be better as an entire human being. And one of my favorite quotes from the book is, what's the difference between neighborhood and community? And the answer is you. Like, you are the difference from being in a neighborhood versus creating community. And while, yes, the book was talking in a literal sense, but like, if your community is not being active, it's like, well, don't wait for someone to pick up the gauntlet, pick it up your damn self. Like, be a leader in your community, get people moving like ashes. Like, that's so powerful. And you never know who you might impact for the better just because you decided, to corral a bunch of people together and inspire one another to be better, having that accountability, having that community. Like, that is so undervalued and something that I honestly kind of slept on, where I was like, not a big deal, but it is a big deal.
I think that what you said about like inspiring somebody else is like huge too. And I think like as a coach, that's like what helps me too. Like even if it's just like your family, like, but me like knowing that I have like clients that like look up to me that are like, wow, like she checks her boxes. Like it helps hold me to like a standard. And then obviously like I have to check in with my own coach, but I will say like having like that community, whether it is your neighbor right next door, whether it's a book club, your friends, your coaching community, whatever it may be, it really does help with like all being on the same page because like you said, there are going to be some days where people don't want to do it and other people are motivated to do it. So you grab their hand, you pick them up and you take them along with you. Because I mean, what do we want in this world? We want everyone to succeed. Like nobody enjoys people seeing people lose and hurt. And if you do, you're fucked up. Like fuck you. Literally, you're a piece of shit.
No,
But
it's so important. Like, when you see the good in others, you inspire others to be good, right? And that's, I feel like, a big premise of both Ash and I's coaching is like, yes, we will call you out when you are letting the ball slip. That is a part of our job. But like, when we see the good in you, we're going to tell you. So that way you are inspired to be good in the same way that like we hold ourselves to a high standard because we are leaders, right? We want ourselves to succeed because if we can succeed, then others can, our athletes, our clients, our friends, our family, like literally the definition of a ripple effect. So it's like it just takes one person. So why not it be you?
Exactly. Like, why don't you be the change? Like, it's cool. It's cool to feel that. And like, even like that, I remember like years ago when I started coaching, if someone's like, well, why do you want to do this? And I was like, because I want to be that person that like somebody 20 years from now will be like, have a thought in their head and be like, wow, yeah, that Asha girl, like she said something or did something or inspired me one day and that impacted my life. Like that's the person I want to be. And that's why I do this stuff. So it's like, even if like you don't think people are noticing or people are watching, they always are. And whether it is like your daughter, even your mom, your dad, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it may be, your fucking dog, you know, your dog would be proud of you for doing shit, you know? Like with that being said, it's like you are inspiring other people and like that's such a good feeling.
It really is. And like obviously that makes you like feel good and warm and fuzzy on the inside. And that honestly, that feeling like tends to go away during these cooler months anyway. So it's like if you want to give yourself the warm and fuzzies, give something to someone else. Like I know it's kind of cheesy to be like, oh, it's the year or it's the season to be thankful and the season of giving, but like it's true. But why not also extend that to the other like, 10 months we have in the year? Because like that is legit the power of creating what you want in the world. And obviously, like you said, we want good, powered individuals that make change and make a positive impact, not pieces of shit that want to see the world crash and burn. But at the end of the day, just remember, it literally does start with you. So start. Don't stop. Like, don't be like, oh, I'm going to wait until January, because, like, no, you're not. Like, you will wait and wait and wait. The next thing you know, we're going to be ringing in 2026.
Yeah, seems so far away. But also too, like I think it's harder to be like, oh yeah, like January 1st is gonna be the start of it. But like when you think about it, like the seasonal depression starts like October. So like now you're already 3 months behind the ball, and like it can be harder to get over that hurdle because like when you think about it, like you're already say you start at step one, and then 3 months later you're gonna be at like negative 10 step, and it's like, okay, well now I have to take 10 steps forward just to get back to where I was when I could have just started earlier and like kept going. 'Cause it's like waiting around till January 1st can actually like start or can actually push you back farther. So your starting point is delayed, to be honest with you. And that's why like you can start by just doing like the simple things of like getting a happy light, vitamin D, getting, you know, with your community, with your family, with your friends, things like that. As well as like eating like a nutritional diet. One thing I want to ask you is like, how do you feel about like sleep during now? Because I feel like a lot of people oversleep. And like, is that something that like you think, like, I think people should maintain consistency, like still go to bed at the same time, even though the sun is setting at fucking 4:30 in the afternoon.
At three.
It's like Alaska where you get like 1 hour of sunlight.
Legit.
But yeah, like so start, you know, like or stay up, even though it can be hard, you know, till whatever time you normally go to bed, 8 or 9, and then make sure you are still getting up in the morning, even when it is dark. And that's when you can put on that happy light, take your vitamin D, you know, I don't know, wear a yellow shirt. Who fucking knows? Like something bright and fun, you know.
Colorful, yeah.
So like, because a lot of people I notice that, and they'll be like one of my check-in questions is like, how are you managing stress? They're like, sleep. I'm like, what?
So how
Like,
you
are
manage stress?
I know. I'm like, are we oversleeping? Are we taking a lot of naps? Like, I'm
Yeah.
just, and I feel like that can like disrupt, you know, obviously just like your sleep cycles too. And then also too, like you're just using that as a crutch to not even navigate like the daily stressors that you're supposed to encounter.
Yeah, we call that avoidance tactics.
Yeah, we do. We
Yeah,
do.
but to
And
answer your question about sleep, like I am someone that like this is just how I handle sleep for me. I, unless it's like I have to set an alarm, I want to wake up as naturally as possible and allow my body to dictate exactly how much I need. And sometimes it's 7 hours, sometimes it's like 8.5, 9. So it's like, but because I have been so routine and regimented for years, it's a no thing for me. But as someone that's first starting off, it would be so easy to push that 10, 11 hour mark, start to schedule in some naps, and remind, like what Ash said earlier, it is important to have a routine and schedule. And the longer that you sleep outside of like a normal sleep cycle that what your body truly needs, can actually be detrimental to some extent. So like don't think that more sleep is better if you're clocking in 10, 11, 12 hours, because not necessarily. Then we're starting to think about you're having some type of like circadian rhythm issue. So it's like, 8 hours is like pretty standard. It's pretty good that most people need. You might need maybe 7, you might need 9, but like any more or less, we're going to start going into uncharted waters. So it's like still continue to sleep, because it's good for you, but don't sleep your life away. But then also don't be a zealot, a productivity whore like I used to be, and brag about sleeping 4 or 5 hours, because that's like bragging about self-neglect is stupid.
Yeah. And honestly, like oversleeping though can also be a sign of like that something is like wrong. Because I remember when I was like really sick, like I would sleep like 17 hours a day. And I also know too that like when my sleep schedule is fucked up, like it has been since I've had a kid, but like I don't ever feel well rested. Like I either like wake up and feel good or I wake up and I feel still exhausted. So it's just like back and forth. It's because like, oh, well, maybe I stayed up an extra hour or, you know, so it's like sometimes when I do get that extra hour or even if I get an extra hour of sleep, I can wake up like more tired. Like I'm just like, fuck this, man. Like I slept for 10 hours. Like that seems like you would feel better, but like you don't sometimes. And that's the reality of it. So I was just curious, like your thoughts, because like I said, I feel like a lot of people just start sleeping their days away. And then when you start doing that again, like you're just like not checking your boxes and then you don't feel good. Like that's also a mental burden that's like weighing on you because you're like, damn, like I should have been doing these things. Like these things make me feel good and now I'm not doing them. So now I even feel worse.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about quality versus quantity. And so people sometimes get play the quantity game where they're like, oh, I'm sleeping 10, 11 hours, but it's the quality that matters. Again, especially like I don't want to get into like so much sleep psychology, but like you sleep in cycles and stages. And if you're like disrupting in a certain stage, you're gonna wake up feeling like you're dragging ass, even if you slept the magical, 11, 12 hours. So Ash, you're exactly right. It's not a placebo thing. It's likely because you're waking up in the middle of a sleep stage that your body shouldn't necessarily be waking up at. So it's something where there's a Goldilocks for every single person. And you will have to find that, and you and your coach can create like what is best for you in that scenario. But the biggest thing is to have a plan in place, to set up the schedule that makes you check off your boxes on a consistent basis, and continue to have fun and express gratitude. Like the world is gray. Plants die, they go dormant. Just because plants go dormant doesn't mean that you need to.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. I
I'm
like
telling
that.
you, reading is making me so wise. I feel like a fucking owl. Who,
Yeah,
Viz?
I was just about to say that was like really poetic.
Dude, I'm telling you, like that book, Platonic. I mean, I won't shut up about it, but it is so good. It is so good, and it's also really cool to see how I have moved from an anxious attachment style, which ruined my life and ruined how I just interacted with people and myself, to more of a secure attachment style where it's like, I take ownership for my actions. I understand I am not perfect. I understand that there are good in people and you need to see the good. Like, again, that book is just so good. I'm probably going to buy it for you, by the
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna get that in the mail soon. It's funny you say that. But that I was also thinking, I was like, dang, you shouldn't be like their spokesperson. Like, they should start giving you like some
Use
fucking.
my code, MyoStrength.
Seriously, reach out to them. Like, you can like honestly do that shit. Like, hey, I'm like promoting your book on my podcast, on my Instagram, everywhere. So like, I
Hey, I'm
should.
really annoying about your book.
Yeah, in the best way possible, though. That's fucking hilarious. But with that being said, what are you grateful for?
I'm gonna do three. I'm gonna pick three today. I am grateful for the fact that I was able to pay off my student loans. Like the truck thing was really cool, don't get me wrong, but like being rid of that debt, like it feels so good. It feels so good just to have that nipped in the butt. So I'm grateful that I was able to pay off that debt. I'm grateful for the fact that I have a new training split and it's literally glutes every single day.
Love
So
that.
love that. But because I love my training, there are certain exercises like good mornings or kickbacks that I am terrible at. And it is a humble bumbler to learn and be okay with sucking at something. And that's actually really exciting, where it's like, I get to redeem myself this training day on kickbacks or on good mornings. I get to try again. And rather than like being so upset at like my previous perfectionist tendencies, it's like, try again. Somebody else, try again. Like it's so fucking exciting to like kind of feel like a beginner again, because you have like more steps to climb, more progress to make. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I love my training. Like, I love fucking that shit up. I don't even care. Like, people, when they send me videos, they're like, I'm so fucking frustrated. I'm like, why, dude? Like, who, like, you have a chance to do fucking better. Like, isn't that the purpose of this? So I get it. I totally get it. Like, I mean, you've seen me for the last, I don't know, 4 years trying to learn how to do a fucking kickback, and I still can't figure it. So, like, I mean, I try every fucking week. I take my feedback. It does get like a fucking sliver better, but then I fuck it up again. But it's fun for me. It's fun to be like, all right, like, was that good? Was that not? Like, where can I improve? So I think it's good. I think I'm glad that you're enjoying that rather than viewing it as like such a burden or like I'm fucking up or I'm not good enough. It's like, no, I am good enough and I'm going to be good enough. You know, I still, so it's cool. It's cool to see
Yeah, just
that.
like having fun with it again. I kickback cue that's really helped me, especially when you're like bringing your knee back to like the starting position. I think about trying to lick my knee. So then I'm thinking about like bringing the knee as close to my body as possible so I can, and then kicking it back like on a horse.
Yeah, that's good. I usually say like kind of like a Charlie horse, like driving your knee up into someone's fucking butt
Yeah,
cheek.
there you go. So if you want to be aggressive both on the eccentric and concentric, Charlie horse and then kick and be a horse.
Yeah, double horse.
Double horse.
Centaur.
Jesus, God. And then I said three, so one more. I'm just thankful that Eric and I had a lot of quality time last week and that we were able to go dancing and find a new hobby to share together.
I love that. I want to go dancing.
Do it. Dude, make
Yeah.
that part of your like date nights.
Dude, we don't do date nights anymore because we have that child. So we're working on it. We'll get back to it. Let's see. What am I grateful for? So I'm actually really grateful that I'm super busy with work. It is very overwhelming. I texted Ash the other day and had like a fucking breakdown. But in the grand scheme of things, I am very grateful that like I have to work this hard, that I am this busy, that I get to help this many people, that I am overwhelmed because I care so much. So, you know, turning that stressor into a gratitude is a good reminder to be like, where, like, I actually, this is crazy. I was actually in my kitchen and I was like, I'm gonna start crying. Well, I don't cry, but like if I did, I would. I was like, oh yeah, this would be full on Kim Kardashian tears right now, but like they just, sometimes I even try and make myself cry and they won't happen. But nonetheless, I was sitting there and I was like, I wished for this shit 2 years ago. And now here it is. I need to be grateful because this is exactly where I wanted to be. And here I am. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I'm busy. And then I am just like grateful for this holiday season because my family is so big this year, with my own kid, with my nephew, my girlfriends, and then obviously my, you know, immediate family. It's just cool. It's very cool to see each year that it keeps getting like bigger and bigger. And I love that because there's just more people to love, more people to spend time with, and more people just to be around.
Exactly. Like focusing on what matters. And that's kind of like to sum up like what we talked about with like seasonal depression, but like remembering to control your controllables. And that is how you feed yourself, how you move your body, and then how you respond to life. And you can either view like your life in a blue lens, which can be very sad, or you can view it with the sun, put a yellow orange lens on it and be like, you know what? This is a difficult and challenging situation. How can I be positive? How can I, find gratitude in it? Because like a lot of us, we really want to just constantly get better, maybe even to a fault. But at the end of the day, it's like when you ask to eat, you can't complain with what's on your plate. It's like that's kind of that's what my mantra has been lately. It's like I asked for this. So thank you that I'm receiving it. And how can I make myself better because of it?
Yeah. What can we learn from this? I love that. It's good.
Exactly. So I think I ate enough tea leaves in this podcast. Any final notes? Any final thoughts?
No, that's it. That's it. You guys just keep on keeping on. I know it's a hard time, but you guys will get through it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Peace.
Adios.